I know your life on earth was troubled, and only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to the rain. So go rest high on that mountain. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shouting. Love for the Father and the Son. Oh, how we cry the day you left us. We gathered round your grave to grieve. I wish I could see. So go rest high on that mountain. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shouting. Love for the Father.
Thank you for joining us on the Word of Life. I'm Bruce Potter, your speaker. We're going to be looking today at several passages of Scripture, beginning in Isaiah chapter 7, that talk about our Lord and Savior. Now, I know that the Christmas holiday itself has passed at the playing of this recording, but what we need to do is understand what the Scripture says, so we're not going to let the holiday stop us, okay? Now, if you remember, in the last 3 weeks, we have touched on the presence of God being the answer to the suffering, the pain, the grief that we have during the holidays. I would be remiss if I did not point out, and I'm sure that you're aware of this, that grief doesn't stop at the end of the holidays, does it? If your heart is broken, it's still broken today. Now, we just don't want to be ruled by the grief. We want to be ruled by Christ. So that's where we're going to look at the promises of God and the presence of God, if you will. In the meantime, as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 7, let me encourage you to continue constantly in prayer for those that you know are struggling. There are many who are in the throes of experiencing unjust treatment by others. There are those who are lost, in other words, lost in society. There are those who are lost in another way, and that is lost by God and from God. And I want you to understand that there is a real need and a real essential need for us to be aware of those that are struggling to find their place. Sometimes it's as simple to help them as just speaking a kind word. Sometimes you got to get a little more involved. Are we willing? That's the question. Are we willing? And if we're able, are we going to? Now, we can't do everything for everybody. And that's evident from the size of the world and versus the number of me that there is or the number of you that there is. If you seek to make a difference in the lives of those around you, one person at a time might be all you can do. Maybe you can speak a good word that several people will hear and take some encouragement from, but you know it gets hard when you get involved with people. God has chosen to get involved with people. We're going to begin with a reading here in Isaiah 7, and then we're going to look at two more passages in Isaiah, and then a passage in the book of Micah, and then we'll go into the New Testament. We're just going to do some reading, so be patient and listen to the story. After we read the Old Testament passages, we'll probably comment a little bit as we go through here. But by and large, let's just listen to what God has to say. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the prophet speaking to the king of Judah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now we know, and we're going to run across this later, that the name Emmanuel means God with us. We turn two chapters over to Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 read this way. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Now, if you're not familiar with the New Testament and the citations that New Testament authors make of the Old Testament, you won't recognize Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, but you might if you've been reading your Bible. It is a quote from Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus begins to speak and teach people. And what Matthew cites is the part of this passage that talks about the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. As we look further down in this same chapter, in Isaiah chapter 9, we go down to verse 6 and verse 7, and we read the words of the prophet again. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace or the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The three passages we have read so far, Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9, these three passages talk about the advent of Christ into the world. They talk about how Jesus would come, why Jesus would come, what would be accomplished in his coming. And I want you to notice at the end of verse 7 here in Isaiah chapter 9, the statement that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. You got to understand that this was spoken 600 years before Jesus was born. Approximately 6 centuries before Jesus would ever grace the face of this earth, in the sense that he did in the gospel accounts, Isaiah spoke of him this way. We turn over to the prophet Micah. Now, Micah is not one of those easy ones to find. If you can't find it easy, look in the index or just listen to the statement of Scripture. In Micah chapter 5, there is a verse, verse 2, that speaks of the particular nature of this advent. And again, we read the words, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. As for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. An interesting, we call it conundrum, here in this verse. What we find is that somebody that had been alive through eternity would enter the world at Bethlehem. Now, what I want you to see here is the statement that this is not like the birth of another child. This is not where a person begins to exist. It is where a person who has existed is born into flesh and promises are fulfilled. In just a few moments, we'll enter into some other text. Right now, let's listen to a song. The passages that we have read then thus far have talked about the coming and the presence of Jesus into the world. There are many other passages. There are something around 200 passages in the Old Testament that are easily recognizable as referring to Christ, and actually many of them are applied in the New Testament to the presence of Christ. There are probably many more things that are said in the New Testament that I, by the weakness of my own study and mind, don't recognize. But many have been cataloged, and many have been cataloged by me personally. I have taken time at various points in ministry to read through the Old Testament with an eye towards marking those passages that point toward Jesus. So what we see is that the advent of Jesus was no accident. Centuries before the event occurred of the arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem, the plan had been made. In fact, if you'll accept it, what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 is that before the foundation of the world, Jesus was that lamb slain for our sin. Understand that it was never the intention of God to let us be without a Redeemer. Always we would have a Redeemer. Let's turn in the New Testament to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read several related passages in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. If you remember, by the way, last Lord's Day, we read the passage from Luke 2 that dealt with Simeon, with the old man that stayed in the temple, and how he was looking for God's comfort and God's presence in Messiah. And that prayer that he prayed was granted to him. He was able to see the Messiah and hold him in his arms. What a thrill it must have been What a touch of life it must have been to Simeon. And yet Simeon's words went like this: "Now, Lord, I can depart in peace. You've kept your word." Well, God kept his word, and Jesus would arrive centuries after the words of Isaiah and Micah. We read in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 and going all the way down through verse 38, these words. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming in, he, that is, Gabriel, said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." What do you think it would have been like to be Mary that day? To be there where Gabriel spoke and announced that all the promises that God had made are about to be fulfilled in you. There is a song recorded here. It's called a song by many that Mary sang when she had went to visit Elizabeth, her relative, who was, by the way, pregnant with John the Baptist at that time. We'll read in Luke chapter 1 from verse 46 down to verse 55 and see the praise that Mary offered to God. What a situation to be in, to have an angel talk to you, to have a promise that will be fulfilled. And here you are, simply and only, a plain old person. Listen to the words of Mary. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their throne and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." What a beautiful song, and what a realization that Mary's voice didn't sound like mine. She wasn't a gruff person, I'm sure. What a beautiful heart, though, to represent the blessing of God as she did. "The Mighty One," in verse 49, "has done great things for me. His mercy is upon generation after generation," verse 50. "He has filled the hungry with good things," verse 53. His promise is being kept. And Mary realizes that. Mary knows the angel had appeared to her. Elizabeth was carrying the baby that leaped in the womb, remember, when Mary entered. And Elizabeth's greeting, "How is it that the mother of my Lord has come here?" All of these things together must have been overwhelming to this young lady. Now, as we consider what was happening here, we see the marvelous fulfillment of the promise of God next. In chapter 2 of Luke, in verses 1 through 7, we read these words. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. What a beautiful statement about the birth of Jesus. You know, if you were going to send God into the world, I dare say that the thought of us would be, well, let's have a little bit of fanfare. Let's have something that shows that this birth is not like another. Let's make the angels sing for everybody to see. Well, there were some signs, but not the kind of signs that you think. We'll consider one episode of those signs in just a few moments after we listen to a song. what of some of the signs that we're seeing? Let's just consider one today. In Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, when Jesus was born, there were shepherds involved. You remember the story, probably. Well, listen to what the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. In the same region, that is, the same area where Jesus was born, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, watching over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is well pleased." Now stop there for a moment and think about how random this seems. And yet, God had made the plan. The randomness factor is not really what's going on here. Somebody humble is being elevated, just like Mary sang about in Luke. We read on at verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Now, the passages that we have read today, including this passage here, are not terribly complicated. They don't take years of study to understand. You can always plumb the depths deeper in these passages. Don't misunderstand me. But you must understand that the basic statement of what these passages say is very simple to get a hold of. It was the plan of God that Jesus would come. It was the fulfillment of the plan that brought praise both from heaven and from people. And I want you to understand that. Simeon grasped the importance of what was going on. There in Luke chapter 2, where Simeon was talking, as we see in just a few verses after the passage we've read, he is ready to go because he has seen that God fulfills his promise. Now, he knew that already, by the way, because he was waiting. Simeon would not have been waiting if he didn't expect God to fulfill that promise. Now, let me ask you a question. What about you? God has made promises. Do you feel that God has not kept those promises, or is it perhaps that the perspective that you have does not allow you to see the presence of God around you? If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have his presence. If you're outside of Christ, you need his presence. That's why Jesus said in his magnificent statement in the Gospel of Matthew that you are heavy laden, and you can come to him for rest. If you seek that rest today, you'll only find it in Jesus, the one way to the Father. If you would give consideration to that this week, and you make sure and join us next week on the Word of Life as we begin our studies in you. God bless you through the week.